grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the Gospel for this Sunday, the 21st chapter of St. Matthew, the 5th verse. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." Although there are still some 31 days until we wish each other a Happy New Year, today, the first Sunday in Advent, is the beginning of the new church year, in a sense, the church's New Year's Day. Today, the church throughout the world begins a new year of grace. And so that great 17th century hymn writer Johann Olearius sings, "Again is come the new church year, rejoice all Christians far and near. Thy King, O Zion, comes to thee, therefore rejoice eternally." Christ comes to us in his word, he comes to us in baptism, and he comes to us in the holy sacrament of his body and blood. And from ancient times, the church has greeted his coming in the sacrament with the very same words as the crowds who greeted him on his entrance into Jerusalem. "Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." During this Advent season, Advent means coming, we prepare for the yearly remembrance of our Savior's coming at Bethlehem. But this Advent season isn't a kind of make-believe in which we pray for his coming as Mary's lowly child. That coming lies in the past. And so our prayers for his coming, which are so frequent during this Advent season, our prayers that he would come again to us, his faithful people, as he has promised, in the means of grace. And we pray also for his coming again in glory at the last day to bring to completion the work of love begun in Bethlehem. There is a beautiful old prayer for the Advent season, a prayer now more than 400 years old, that beautifully brings together all three comings: his coming in lowliness, his daily coming to us, and his coming again in glory at the last day. And the words are these: "Almighty God, give us grace that we may cast away the works of darkness and put upon us the armor of light, now in the time of this mortal life, in which thy Son, Jesus Christ, came to visit us in great humility, that in the last day, when he shall come again in glory to judge both the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal." I think I've mentioned before that when I was a little boy, I was greatly puzzled as to why this gospel story of Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem on the first Palm Sunday was always read on this first Sunday in Advent, even before we'd celebrated Jesus' birth. But finally, someone explained to me, I can't remember whether it was my pastor, my Sunday school teacher, my parents, or some relative, that this gospel is read because of the words, Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt the foal of a beast of burden. These words which St. Matthew records in his gospel were originally spoken by the prophet Zechariah more than 500 years before Christ's coming. And by quoting them, Matthew wants us to know that now these words were coming to completion, to fulfillment, as Jesus enters Jerusalem and is acclaimed as the Messiah, the promised Son of David. So the loud hosannas of the crowd, greeting the Messiah. But what the crowd didn't know is that the throne that awaited Jesus was the cross. When we look at history, we find that kings have fled from their would-be murderers. We remember, for example, how King David had to flee from his son Absalom, who had become a traitor. We remember how King Charles I of England tried to flee from Cromwell's men who wanted to capture him and kill him. We remember how King Louis XVI of France and his Queen Marie Antoinette lost their royal heads when their flight ended in capture. Yes, as we look at history, many kings have fled, their would-be murderers. Only one, and he the King of Kings, entered the royal city in glad obedience to his heavenly Father's will, knowing full well what awaited him. Jesus knew that the throne that awaited him in Jerusalem was a Roman cross. To be sure, in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night when he was betrayed, Jesus prayed in agony, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But then went on to pray, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done, and went forward to be betrayed, condemned, scourged, and nailed to the cross. Because the King who comes to us in this Advent season and through all our days is the Lord of mercy, his kingship is a kingship of compassion and undeserved love. A king who did and suffered all that needed to be done and suffered so that poor sinners like you and like me might live in the peace and joy of his perfect pardon of all our many sins. This King who comes in mercy says to you and to me again this day, as he feeds us with his holy body and precious blood, he says, I have done everything that needed to be done for your salvation. I have suffered all that you, by reason of your sins, have deserved. I have taken on myself all that is yours, your humanity, your sin, your anguish, your death. And I freely give you all that is mine. You are therefore by my mercy all that I am by nature, God's beloved child, the heir of all his promises, an inheritor of the eternal kingdom of light and joy. So the theme of this holy season is this: behold, your King is coming to you, as he once came as the child of Blessed Mary, coming to you daily in his gospel and sacraments, and coming again at that last and great day to gather us all into that kingdom which in his love he prepared for us before the foundation of the world. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.